Greetings. We are here to celebrate the life of Betty Porter, and you are welcome, and we are glad that you've come to join us. Some of you may not know me. My name is Mark Allison, and for the last 10 months, I've been the pastor here at the First Baptist Church. I myself did not have much of a chance to get to know Betty. I did make the acquaintance, and we had some conversation. And it has been a pleasure to meet her family and her friends. Occasions like this are always filled with mixed emotions. There is sadness because we are grieving a loss. And we are grieving also that part of the human condition, which is that we all meet the same end, and that is death. Tears are appropriate and common. But there's also joy, and this is a celebration, because we are celebrating a life lived, a precious life, and we are celebrating the goodness of life itself. And so, laughter is also appropriate. Mostly, we come to remember and to gather together to let the memories come, happy or sad, and in the context of encouragement, to find a way to say goodbye to a friend. And we are glad that you have come to take part. I do want to offer a word of welcome to John Peterson, who is the pastor over at Zion, a couple of doors down, United Church of Christ, and he will be sharing with us in just a few minutes. After a word of prayer, we are going to have a time of musical reflection. Shall we pray together? Gracious God, we ask your presence in this hour. We pray for comfort and strength for those who are suffering the sting of death. We pray that we might have the peace that passes understanding descend upon us, and that you might fill our hearts with a blessed hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
I want to thank Mary Lou for playing that song called Lost Chord. Many of you know that Mom played the organ for many, many years, both here and in Marysville at the First Congregational Church where she grew up. And going through her things, I found the lyrics, so I'd like to read those to you. Seated one day at the organ, I was weary and ill at ease, and my fingers wandered idly over the noisy keys. I know not what I was playing or what I was dreaming then, but I struck one chord of music like the sound of a great amen, like the sound of a great amen. It flooded the crimson twilight like the close of an angel's psalm, and it lay on my fevered spirit with a touch of infinite calm. It quieted pain and sorrow like love overcoming strife. It seemed the harmonious echo of a disconcordant life. It linked all the perplexed meanings into one perfect peace and trembled away into silence as if it were unwilling to cease. I have sought, but I seek it vainly, that one lost chord divine, which came from the soul of the organ. And entered into mine. It may be that death's bright angel will speak in that chord again. It may be that only in heaven I shall hear that great amen. It may be that death's bright angel will speak that chord again.
Hear these words from Matthew's account of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, sharing selected verses from the fifth chapter. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." As Dr. Allison mentioned a moment ago, my name is John Peterson, pastor of Zion United Church of Christ. Betty's family has asked that I share some brief memories and recollections and reflections this morning. It is an honor to do so. I was privileged to know Betty in many capacities as a fellow elected official. In recent years, after she moved out on West Central as a West Ender, I walked by Betty's home every morning on the way to work. Yes, Tony, I'm trying to be diligent about my exercise. Betty and I shared a keen interest in community theater. After community theater was resurrected several years ago in Delaware, Betty would call frequently asking about what the next production was so that she could make accommodations to attend. And as a friend, Betty would call, and you know, it was Betty's habit to get right to the point. But then, having made the point, she would go on for quite some time and not ramble, but talk about meaningful things as friends do. That was Betty's way. Now, I will go out on a limb this morning and suggest that I knew Betty in one way that I had a relationship with Betty in one way that no one else here did. As a young 9-year-old Cub Scout, Betty was my den mother. And I thank the family for sharing with me this morning as they went through some of Betty's belongings, a handbook for boys on scouting. I will treasure this. Each of us knew Betty in different and special ways. As a mother, as a grandmother, as someone interested in politics and government, as a church organist, where Betty played for many years, as a community activist, as a neighbor, as a friend. We all knew Betty in some real and significant way. And we give thanks today for her sharing her life with us. We read in the fifth verse of the fifth chapter, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, no one in here who knew Betty in any real way would say that Betty was meek. At least if by meek we mean submissive, steering away from conflict. Betty was not bashful. Betty was no shrinking violet. You know, when Betty had something to say, she most frequently said it. And if she said it, you know she meant it. But Betty was meek in this way. In the biblical and the scriptural sense of Betty being patient and leading her life, living her life with a sense of humility. That's how we come to know this sense of being meek. It wasn't all about Betty Porter. She would always do what she could do to support her family, to support her friends, to support her colleagues. For Betty was more about her friends and her family than it was about herself. Now, Betty loved gatherings. If you had any time to watch the videos that are moving in the room adjacent to this sanctuary, you'll see that many of those scenes are gatherings. And on occasion, Betty, you know, she was very active in the State Association of Clerks of Court for many years, very active. And she would have her colleagues come to Delaware on occasion. And she would call those of us who knew any of those attending, and they would gather frequently at Bunn's. And we would go, and she would just love and have joy to share and to watch her friends share with each other. What joy that would bring to Betty. Betty loved those gatherings. I suspect it was the same for gatherings here at the church and elsewhere. Betty loved to be in community. She loved to be with you. She loved to see you with each other. At those gatherings, it was Betty always doing everything she could to make sure that harmony prevailed. Shalom. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. In verse 6, we read, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And Betty did lead a full life. Betty's life had been filled with so much. It was filled by her faith, by her love of this community, and by her love for her family. Now, there are, in this day and age, when people move about so frequently, always seeking new and different opportunities, it's not as usual as it once was for a person to live their entire adult life in one community. But those who do are deeply embedded within the community. And Betty exemplified what it is to be connected to a community. She was connected to Delaware and sustained by Delaware, certainly through her employment. 44 years of service to the public of Delaware County. She worked and retired here as a public servant. And Delaware sustained Betty as a place she would nurture her family. Delaware sustained her when loss impacted her family. Sustained her through the relationships she developed with friends. You are here today bearing testimony to that. And Delaware sustained her through the smiles, the pleasantries she exchanged with those that she would encounter when she went into the places of business in Delaware, schools in Delaware, homes in Delaware, this church, and other places. Delaware sustained Betty Porter. It gave her strength. But just as Delaware sustained Betty Porter, Betty Porter sustained Delaware in return. The biblical understanding of salt of the earth is that it was the salt that our predecessors thousands of years ago would put in the fuels of the day to make it keep burning. Salt of the earth. And Betty sustained in very real ways the fire and the spark of this community. The salt of the earth in this community are those who, living in this community and loving this community, allow the fire to keep burning. And this is a tribute we cannot pay to everyone, especially in this time of transience and mobility. Betty gave her life to this community. She loved this community. Betty was a woman of faith. Now, she didn't wear her faith on her sleeve. She was not self-righteous in any way. At least I didn't know her that way. That didn't mean she wouldn't let you know if she thought a member of her family or a friend was barking up the wrong tree theologically, coming to a different conclusion. She wasn't bashful about that. But her faith, I think, was formed and shaped by those she encountered in the body of Christ. Those friends, you here today, her relationship with you was at the core of her faith. Now, she was a faithful and diligent member of First Baptist, where we are at this very moment. It was here she shared her musical gifts, which were considerable. And I think she was saddened that her opportunities in the last several years to worship here became fewer and fewer. But that in no way dampened or diminished her faith. Suggested that her faith, her community were important to her. Nothing was more important to Betty than her family. The third pillar of her life. It was my observation that Betty's family, in fact, became more and more important. As the years passed by, her eyes would still reveal the loss of a young son. But she was nourished and sustained by a growing family. Amen. For those of us who knew her well, she would not hide conflict that may have existed within the family. But her faith, as the days went by, became that certain faith of healing and reconciliation. A faith that grows and matures as we have more and more birthdays as we get older. As one generation gives way to the next, matriarchs, in this case, share their experiences with those that they have gone through life with, their sufferings and their joys, their disappointments, you know, what they have done in their estimation, what they have done well, and maybe a sense of what they thought they could have done a little bit better. Family consists of those that are here in the flesh, but we know our families are more than that. Our families continue to consist of those who have gone before us, those who remain, and those who are yet to come. As we have gathered today, we would do well to build the roof over our own lives upon the three pillars of Betty's life: family, faith, and community. In verse 8 we read, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, I knew Betty pretty well, but I didn't have the ability to look into her heart and to ask her or see how pure it was. I think Betty recognized we are all saints and sinners. Amen. I shouldn't spend any time asking her whether she ever saw God. I don't know whether Betty Porter ever saw God, but I do know this. I do know we can see God in the actions of others. I do know we can see God in the actions of men and women who care about their friends and about their families deeply, sincerely. And I do know we can see God in the smile and the twinkling eye of a proud mother, a proud grandmother. We can see God in the faithfulness of God's servants. We can see God in lives of service. We can see God in lives of love and grace. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I don't know whether Betty Porter ever saw God, but I saw God in Betty Porter. Finally, in verse 4 of this fifth chapter of Matthew, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Today we are wounded and hurt, we grieve, we have experienced a sense of loss today, in the days before, and in the days to come. But we are comforted to know that our Betty now rests eternally with no pain, no struggles, no worries. She is at rest. Scripture reminds us that greater love has no person than this, to give her life for others. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen and amen.
I was going to try to start out with some really good political jokes, but couldn't find a one that was not lewd and inappropriate for this service. I mean, I have some good ones, but probably shouldn't do that today. I am so sorry for your loss. I have never been a fan of this sentiment. That's why you won't hear me say or write these words as a type of condolence for someone. This is my take on this sentiment. Webster's Dictionary's definition cites that a loss is a state or feeling of grief when deprived of someone or something of value. And although I do feel a great sense of physical absence, I truly believe that our loved ones, the ones we hold closely to us, we are never actually ever deprived of. We carry their smiles, laughter, wisdom, history, love, all of these things within our hearts. And that's what keeps us tethered to them for the rest of our lives. Last month on a sunny Monday, my anchor got pulled up. June 20th seemed to be just another Monday. Sitting at work, I received a call that I would soon learn that I never wanted to have actually taken. The nurse that I initially spoke with quickly told me that there had been an incident with my mom, and that I needed to speak with the officer who was there with her. And as she put the phone down, she never covered up the receiver. And from a distance, I heard the words, "That must have been when she passed away." And at that very moment in time, my life as I always had known it would be changed forever. I knew that this day of me standing before you trying to put into words how much my mom meant and will always mean to me would inevitably come. As much as we all can try to hide or dodge from it or have some delusion that somehow we are all immortal, death from life, from this life, comes for us all. I just did not expect her departure to be so abrupt. I wasn't done receiving guidance and wisdom. I wasn't done seeing the pride in her eyes when she looked at both her children and her grandchildren. I wasn't done knowing that I could just pick up the phone and call her or stop by her house to tell her about what was going on in mine and Wyatt's lives, or being able to simply ask a question or vent about something or someone who had pissed me off. I wasn't done receiving hope and the unconditional love of a parent. I just wasn't done receiving hugs and embracing this life with the caretaker that God assigned to me. And how lucky I am it was this strong-willed, generous, stubborn, independent, kind, gracious, intimidating, well-respected woman who could completely rock the resting bitch face, who was entrusted with raising myself as well as my three siblings. My first vivid memory of my mom is of her putting me on her back and swimming the length of Mingo's pool, and not just the 25-yard length, but the 50-yard length. With her head bobbing in and out of the water, taking long, deep breaths as mine stayed above the water. I remember me feeling this sense of calm, riding on her back as the water splashed against my skin. This would mark the beginning of what would be countless hours of my childhood spent with my mom at a multitude of pools around the state of Ohio. She was extremely proud that all four of her children were swimmers, some better than others. However, the pride she felt in being a swim mom was very evident and something that gave her tremendous joy. My relationship with mom was quite different than that of my brothers and sister. I was a baby, the accident that occurred back in 1972. And by the time I finally emerged into this world, there wasn't much time for Betty to be the stay-at-home kind of mom. In fact, we found a piece of paper over the past few weeks, of the many, where she had written down the exact amount of time that she was able to stay home with each of us. John, you got 5 years, 4 months. Jim got 3 years and 6 months. Janet received much less. She got 4.5 months. And I got 6 weeks. So with the age differences being so vast, by the time I was 10, I was the only one left at home. Being completely and utterly spoiled as an only child. And this spoiling would continue way into my adulthood. Amen. Where she would travel to visit me everywhere I went. Some of my fondest memories of our travels include flying to Bear, Alaska, and sticking our feet in the Arctic Ocean, cruising the Hawaiian Islands with Janet, our trip down the Pacific Coast through Carmel and Monterey to Santa Monica, Tijuana, Las Vegas on a girls' trip where she got her purse stolen, as well as two other of my girlfriend's purses stolen. Grand Canyon, Nashville, and of course our 1986 Christmas that we spent with Jim and his family of friends in Hollywood. I will treasure these experiences always. Betty taught me many things. Always the bookkeeper. My mom taught me that when tipping, you never tip on top of the tax. Always tip off the subtotal. She also taught me that when getting gas, you round up to the nearest quarter to make reconciling your bank account a little cleaner. She was known for her killer deviled eggs, which I don't think I will ever truly master, as I don't think I've ever put enough of her secret ingredient in to get it to taste like hers. Although I do believe I finally mastered her tuna fish. She taught me that ginger ale can cure almost anything, and that the power of visualization and creating in your mind that idea, wish, or whatever it is that you would like to bring into existence has a much better chance of occurring if you can positively visualize it and send it out into the universe. She taught me to be independent, strong-willed, compassionate, unique, kind, but also how to procrastinate and how to possess a weakness for punctuality. Amen. I would like to think that I have at least met some of her expectations when learning these things, yet I know I still have a lot of work to do to try to exceed them. And as for me, I've been told over the past few weeks by a very wise man that my expectations of people are too high. and that I need to lessen them or just completely void them out so I quit getting disappointed. So I'm going to piggyback off of my mom and add to these. That just as human beings, we should expect kindness. We should expect compassion, humility, generosity, genuine caring, investment in relationships, investment in friendships, loyalty, commitment, honesty, and sacrifice for and service to other human beings. And that truly all lives matter. We have lost these simple practices in this chaotic world full of technology and social media that we live in. Any genuine interaction, whether it be a phone call, a written card, or some other type of face-to-face contact with each other, has been replaced with Facebook comments, texts, and Instagram messages. And I'm not saying that these are all bad ways of communicating. It's just that sometimes the simple act of picking up a phone and making or returning a call can make a world of difference. I am truly grateful for the almost 44. Yeah, that's what I'll be. 44 years I had in this life with my caretaker, my mom, Betty Porter. Over this past week on two hot summer nights, Jacob and I were lucky enough to catch one of our favorite bands perform the cover of Knockin' on Heaven's Door. And both times, I just looked up into the sky, feeling that same sense of calm from when I would ride through the water on her back, knowing that now she could be with me anywhere I am. And I truly found comfort in knowing that when Mom went knocking on that door last month, that when it was open, that Jim was standing there. With great big open arms to say, "Welcome home." And they are most likely still celebrating today on the 28th year anniversary date of Jim's homecoming. So before I step down, I just wanted to say how grateful I am to so many people. I want to recognize and thank the Huff family for being so loving and helpful to my mom when you were neighbors and also when you moved a little further away. And to the Havens family for also being such great neighbors, again, to my mom, helping out with her and checking in on her and sharing parts of all of your lives with her. Another wise man said that in the end, my mom truly ended up living her life through hearing about the happenings in ours. And I'm so grateful that all of you are patient enough to help her vicariously live through yours. I also want to thank my tribe, you know, who you all are. You've given me love, space, time, and genuine support, not just during these past few weeks, but at all times. And I'm truly grateful beyond measure for this. Jacob, thanks for helping me work through all of these emotions I've experienced this past month or so. Hang in there. The craziness may tend to subside eventually, or not. Joe, thank you for being there for me as my personal yogi of enlightenment, always. And to John, Janet, Anna, and Wyatt, as for the Porter lineage, we're it. All we have is ourselves. So we better not screw this up. Yes, it is. And I love all of you.
When we planned this service, family discussed offering the opportunity for some of you who might like to share a brief reflection or remembrance, and we would like to give you the chance to do that now. If anyone has something they would like to share. John, would you like to come and share a reading with us?
Well, I'm going to introduce myself because I've been away for a while. So I'm John, and I live in Mexico. Buenas tardes. Bienvenidos. As I think you all know, today is the anniversary of our brother's death, Jim, as well. So I'm going to close with an excerpt from his journal. It's on the back of the program if you want to refer to it. It says, "And I am grateful, and I am complete, and I am faithful. I am the both the giver and the receiver, the light and the shadow, the whole and the peace. I am bathing in the awareness that my surrender is my victory. My suffering is the only passage. My loving is my anchor to God. This peace, at peace, in peace. When I see in this body, this life, I am, I am, I am." Good night.
I want to thank you all for taking the time to share in this memorial service. Jenny and Janet and John have asked me to share this, that they would like to invite you to stick around for a while if you would like, and gather over in the gathering space, and you will notice that there's a video playing and a couple of tables that are filled with angels and elephants. You are meant to take them if you would like. Shall we pray? Holy God, we are thankful for your presence in this place and for the knowledge of your great love and mercy. We pray that you would go with each of us and that we might depart in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The service is concluded.